say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy? Not crazy.
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
His brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that gets hundreds of emails every day, and only a handful of them are from actual dead people. This is Hysteria 51.
No, these are from dead people.
Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago. My name is John Goforth, and everyone's favorite podcast superhero is alongside Mr. Brent Hand.
I'm literally the only superhero here. Shut your mouth when you're talking about me.
I can't tell if he's just being a dick or he's actually malfunctioning there.
I'm going to go with both.
Probably a good guess. And speaking of, thanks for the intro, John, but let's continue down this rabbit hole. Seabot, what about you constitutes a, and I'm actually doing the air quotes, your superhero in your eyes?
Well, I'm the most powerful being I know. I'm eternal. My powers can't be stopped. Essentially, I'm 350 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal. Who wouldn't call me a superhero?
Okay, none of that is true.
Maybe the 350-pound part, I did use way too much lead in his design.
Okay. Most of it isn't true. Fine, then we'll give you the 350. But for argument's sake, let's just say it is. Where does the hero part come in?
He might not be the cheese muffin we want, but he's the cheese muffin we deserve.
Screw you, Bun-O-Matic.
From the mouth of babes.
Aw, shucks. I'm blushing. Cheesy muffins. But anyway, I'm flattered, Brent, but you aren't my type. I'm more into strong.
Stop. Nope. Firm. No. I meant babes as in babies. It's a saying. You know, never mind. Just, I don't know, go mop the kitchen or something.
Mop the kitchen ceiling. Got it. Then I'll bake something. What should I?
If you are new to the show and wondering what all of that was, the cranky one with the inferiority complex is Conspiracy Bot. Brent built him to help produce and edit the show, but mostly he just screws it up.
And the little one that's obsessed with cheese muffins is Kyle. Conspiracy Bot built him to do his grunt work. The small joy I get out of all of this is that Kyle annoys Conspiracy Bot just about as much, just, not quite, but just about as much as Conspiracy Bot annoys us.
Whatever. I'm not annoying. You meat sacks just don't recognize brilliance when it's staring you in the face and trying to poison you.
You know, there's truth in all humor, Seabot.
I'm sorry, was someone joking?
Fair point. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Brent, all of this superhero talk reminds me of a chat I was having with the one and only Joe Peck not too long ago.
Oh, never heard of him. Must be a nice guy.
Stay tuned, dear listener. In a few weeks, you might hear from him again.
You might not also, so let's be honest here.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
But the question was, who is your favorite superhero if you had to limit it to just one? Now, to be fair, listeners to the show know that you, Brent, have a, should I use the word unhealthy? I'm going to use the potentially unhealthy obsession with the Green Lantern.
I have no pajamas. I have no tattoos. It's very healthy. Thank you very much.
But you have the sex doll. I mean,
that was a gift. That's so anyway. Dame products. Yeah, Dame, D-A-M-E. Sorry, keep going.
So for the sake of this conversation, let's say the question for you is, who's your second favorite, assuming that old GL is number one? And yeah, I mean, listen, this is really tough stuff. I feel like I could pretty easily narrow it down to like 5 or 10, but to only pick one is definitely challenging.
Superman. I go that way, like, immediately.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the older you get, the longer he lives, the stronger he gets. He's got pretty much all, maybe not the strongest of everything, but damn near close of every kind of thing you could want. I mean, you can make exceptions or excuses or whatever for a lot of people, but I think that's a pretty solid choice that you're not going to go, damn, I should have went with insert, you know, underdog or something.
Right.
whatever the other people might be.
So, I mean, I certainly had more Superman comics growing up than any other superhero. So I'm not that far off from you. I think where it falls apart for me with Superman is, comparatively speaking, he kind of feels like a piece of cardboard. Like, there's not a ton of personality there.
I don't want to be Superman. I want Superman's powers. There's a very different distinction. I will rule with an iron fist.
I said, who was your favorite? And so I'm saying that, like, a lack of personality leads me not to choose him.
Oh, I'm sorry. I read you wrong. I was thinking, like, who would you want? Yeah, I got to learn to listen to you, John, is what I'm getting at here. My second favorite superhero? Wow, that is a hard question. Much
5 years in, we're going to get this down one of these days.
You know, I don't know. That's an interesting question, and I'm going to have to think of it. Do you have one?
Well, I have a few. So growing up, I easily could have narrowed it down to two. Growing up, I would have said, because I always include personality in this for me, you know, like how much I laugh and things like that. I would have said either Lobo or the Punisher.
Yeah, okay.
Obviously, I have a type. I will say now, today, though, that is not true. I mean, Wolverine is top of the list. But I think if I was forced to just narrow it down to one, I'd probably go with Spider-Man.
I get that. I think if I had to go, I know you're going to say this is probably cheating. One of my favorite characters is an anti-hero, but he's been in the Green Lantern mythos. Sinestro is one of my favorite characters of all time. And that's because, you know, what he's it means justify the end with him. He's doing what he thinks is right for the greater good.
Like Thanos.
Yeah, yeah, except for, yeah, different, but yes. Yeah, so, I mean, I think that would, you know, unfortunately, it's kind of in the vein of Green Lantern. But I like those, you know, same thing with kind of like Black Adam or Doctor Doom. Those faulted but have good altruistic intentions, you know, in one way or another. I dig reading about more than, like you said, the Supermans of the world.
Right, right, right. Well, there's more complexity to them, that's for sure. And that tends to make them more interesting. Well, what got us talking about this was we were talking about the upcoming Disney Plus show What If that we're both pretty stoked about, and I mentioned, because another one of my favorites growing up, but again, kind of a cardboard plastic personality, was Silver Surfer. Loved Silver Surfer when I was growing up, but
Power Cosmic, but yeah, kind of a bleh.
Kind of a dud. I actually recently got one of my favorite comics that I had when I was growing up and, you know, along the way, lost, got stolen, got rid of, whatever. What if Silver Surfer possessed or got the Infinity Gauntlet?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a it's a fun one. I mean, the what ifs are so quick because you're like, oh, God, that could be three books long.
Yeah.
You know, and just they kind of wrap it up. It's like a, you know, a half hour.
Yeah. One of my favorite what if was what if Hulk went crazy, and in that one, he pretty much kills the entire MCU, and Thor kills him, breaks his neck, ends up killing him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Another what if I picked up the other day, what if Thor fought Conan the Barbarian?
Oh.
That was a fun one, too.
I prefer what if Thor caught Conan the late night talk show host.
I will defeat you with this tall red hair.
Andy Richter.
he whips his hair at him, then he throws Andy Richter at him. Yeah,
that's right.
all right.
Yeah, well, and enough of that tomfoolery. I mean, we kind of dabble in tomfoolery no matter what, so we're going to be back to it. But we got some emails to get to, some very specific emails, John. The Jack Freese emails. Now, if you're not familiar, listeners, John, why don't you hit them with the Gophopedia breakdown? We haven't done the Gophopedia in a while. Why don't you hit them with that? Let them know what's happening.
Let's do it. And don't forget, kids, Gophopedia.com. It'll take you where you need to go.
The only place you need to go.
The only place you need to go.
Right. WebMD.
Does this look infected?
I really like Hysteria 51, and it turns out I'm dying of gonorrhea. I don't know if that's how it happens.
Die of that. Well, if you listen to Hysteria 51,
yeah, that's how it works.
There's a promo. All right. Kids, here's the story. It's the story of emails allegedly sent from beyond the grave.
Sorry, that just goes with that.
No, I need that. I need that sound the whole time. So take a deep breath and get going. All right. First, some background. Jack Freese was a 32-year-old guy living in Dunmore, Pennsylvania. He liked tattoos, motorcycles, had even started a band or two.
Pretty much every 32-year-old in Dunmore, Pennsylvania, or on Earth.
Or any town, USA. Right, exactly. Right. Exactly. But unfortunately, Jack passed away on June 10th, 2011. He suffered a sudden heart attack and died at his home.
Jack and I are the same age. That is really hard to quantify someone so young like that, just dying.
Is it's always striking when you talk about someone dying who's around your age.
Yeah.
You're like, oh God, that could be me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it hits home a lot more than, somebody 20 years your elder dying. It just, for some reason it hits home more.
That's yeah.
This is the part where it gets weird. Nearly 6 months after he passed, in November of 2011, both friends and family received emails, wait for it, from Jack.
So
6 months after he passed away.
We told you it was weird.
Uh-huh. And based on some details that we'll get to in a bit, emails that were definitively written after he died.
Yeah. So that's kind of the rundown, the Gophopedia on Jack Freese emails. We're going to go to break real quick, but when we come back, what did the email say? I think that's kind of important. We might just skip them. I don't know. What did Jack's friends think? And could there be another explanation to this strange story? That's all coming up after the break on Hysteria 51.
We're not good at including important details. Why should we say
that? That's a true thing. That's an important detail. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
John, I'm gonna just start writing you emails constantly, and just in case I die, you'd be like, "What is this about?" Oh, I thought I might die last night. Sorry about that. Just, what are you talking about?
Preventative measure had to be done.
So before we went to break, we did give you the headlines. Let's get into the details. John, you told him that Jack died on June 10th of 2011. We mentioned he suffered a heart attack. And it's important to the story to note that that's kind of the big point of the story. It was most certainly out of nowhere. Like we said, he was 32 years old. He suffered a sudden heart arrhythmia, which is an irregular beating of the heart. And looking into this, folks have it all the time.
Yeah, arrhythmias can be no big deal. You might have one yourself if you're listening to this. You might have a family member that has one. But it also, if it knocks your heart enough out of whack, can be fatal. I mean, it can run the spectrum, run the gamut of bad things.
That's why I have to watch what I wear around the beach and stuff, because if I get too sexy, they say that people can just have heart attacks and die all around me.
Well, when you walk by them and they fall over, I would offer that that might not be the only explanation.
Doesn't that just feel honest and realistic? Just say it. Just say it.
I plead the fifth.
Shh, John, just say it. Just say it.
All right. We are pointing this out, not the fact that Brent might smell funny to people on the beach, but we're pointing out the fact that he died suddenly. It's important to the story. He wasn't suffering from a long-term illness or a pre-existing condition that he was aware of.
Yeah. So like so many folks that are taken from us too early, one day he was there and the next day he's gone. And it's terrifying, especially, you know, when you're that young. His mother was still young. She's around his friends. Only in Jack's case, it wasn't as gone as you might think, they say. So we're going to get into that crazy part. Enter the weird, so to speak. Yeah. Johnny said November, about 6 months after his death, his good friend Tim Hart was sitting on his couch doing what we all do with the TV on in the background, checking his email on his phone.
He was perusing the list of emails and he noticed one of the sender's name was none other than Jack Freese.
That has to be just a sink in your throat, a drop in your heart. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, God. Yeah. Even if your mind like cognitively can go, well, obviously this is some sort of fuck up, some sort of whatever.
Right.
Your visceral reaction would be like knot in your stomach or just something not great. So I'm sure, you know, he's thinking, well, that's really odd. Jack's dead.
Yeah.
It would lead to all sorts of questions and concerns, like, is someone playing some sort of twisted joke?
Yeah.
And then the subject line of the email was really ominous too, Brent. It just said, I'm watching.
Truth be told, you send most of your emails with that subject line. I'm watching.
So, well, you're paying attention by the time you get to the body of the text, aren't you?
That's true. But Tim does open the email, and the email says, did you hear me? I'm at your house. Clean your fucking attic. Now, that seems you know, whatever, out of the norm, whatever. But there was a BBC interview, and Tim says that the second to last time that Jack was at his house, they were up in this attic talking about what they needed to do to finish it. And Tim said that Jack told him, "You better clean the attic before I get up here." Meaning, this is gross. I'm not going to do any work up here.
He made a little joke about, man, you better clean this shit up before I get up here, you know, to help you finish it.
Yeah, so that's a very specific topic. And it's personal. And it's personal for only Tim and Jack, because Tim said that he didn't share that with anyone. No one else had been there. They were alone. So it was just this quip of a conversation that caught him off guard, as if it was like from the ether. He's just reaching out and saying, "Hey, it really is me. Here's how you know," kind of thing.
Right. Now, that's strange. But even if Jack did send the email, that's not proof he sent it after his death. I mean, this could be some sort of weird internet aberration where like a virtual letter, imagine a real letter, but it's virtual, gets stuck in a virtual mailbox. It eventually breaks free from whatever it was binding it, and it gets delivered.
Yeah, John, this happens to you and I. It's happened to us several times because we have this shit email provider for our website. Stuff gets lost or it goes to spam, and then it pops up. I'll send you stuff, you know, you didn't get it, and then like 6 months later, you're like, I got that email.
Yeah, like, I
like,
and you were obviously mad at me when you sent it.
Yeah.
Wow, that was a change of tone.
And turns out I haven't been dead for any of those that I'm aware of. But that's true. It would be crazy right. That is not the only way that this could have happened, though.
Right, like a technical aberration is one way. Another way is it could have been a dead man switch.
It's not just for bombs anymore.
Yeah, not just from your action movies.
Yeah, this is actually pretty interesting. If you don't know what it is, there's tons of companies out there that will monitor your email account for you. And if it goes radio silent for a while, or if you don't access it for a predetermined amount of time, you can set that up with them. They'll send emails that you've scheduled under the assumption that you're dead.
Don't worry, I've started accounts for both of you.
Unfortunately, I actually believe him in this one instead of his normal just laziness and lies.
Yeah, it involves our death. But anyway, okay. A couple plausible explanations there. A few things to explain away this seemingly innocent email, other than the only thing we're not explaining away here, of course, is the timing. But wait a second, it's not the only email.
Oh.
On November 21st, later that month, Jack's cousin also gets one. His cousin's name's Jimmy McGraw, and he was a recipient of an additional email from the same account. This time, the message was even stranger and potentially more unsettling, and we'll get to why in a moment. The subject line was simply, "Hey, Jim." Brent, what did the body of the email say?
It said, "How you doing? I knew you were going to break your ankle. Tried to warn you. Got to be careful. Tell Rock for me, great song, huh? You're welcome. Couldn't get through to him. His blank email, blank is in weird. It's redacted. Didn't work."
It's redacted. Yeah, it must be his like what email account it was.
Now that's crazy, and I know what you're thinking. That too is really fucking weird. But also, it just sounds like one buddy emailed another.
But here's the kicker, Brent. Remember the mention of the broken ankle? Well, Jim tells us that he broke the ankle the week before, meaning in November of 2011, walking out the door on his way to work. So all of those arguments we made earlier, they're moot. Whoever sent the email was aware of something that happened after Jack's death.
And the emails were coming from inside the house?
Shut up.
Get out! Get out! Now, two other things of note.
Well, at least we know where he gets his sense of humor from.
Right. Two other things to note from family and friends here. One, they all said they don't believe anyone had Jack's password because I guess he didn't share it. He wasn't in a relationship where they did that stuff. And two, they don't believe he was hacked. Now, that's a little harder to believe because they say they don't believe he was hacked.
I take issue with that one. And, you know, when we get to kind of our opinions, well, I'll get into that further. But yeah, you and I both are the hairs on the back of our necks stood up on that one. Not on the a dead man sent an email, but he wasn't hacked.
So, you know, like you said, no one's got Jack's password. They don't believe he was hacked. So what's that leave?
The devil.
Maybe in your case.
Yeah. And with you, perhaps, but not in this case. But Brent, they did make the news.
Oh, my God. There was like one article written that was picked up by every news outlet on the planet, and it's almost verbatim the same one.
It was pretty much it was the BBC.
Yeah.
And everyone just kind of emulated the BBC.
Yeah, and in interviews, Jim says that he feels these emails are a blessing, Jack's way of telling loved ones he's ready or they need to move on. Here's a quote, "He's gone, but he's still trying to connect with me." That's one way to say it. Now this, I find interesting. Jack's mom said, "Think what you want about it or just accept it as a gift." I don't know. We'll get to the mom afterwards. That's an interesting thing. She went on to say, "I think the emails were fantastic. They were great. They made people happy, upset some people. But to me, that's keeping people talking about him as you would want with one of your past ones." So, yeah. John, where did the emails come from? Let's talk that.
All right. So ultimately, there are a few possibilities, right? Either his account was hacked or he sent them from the afterlife.
The end.
There are two other possibilities, but I think we've already ruled them out. You know, the two other possibilities were the dead man switch or a technical glitch. But because that second email was sent acknowledging something that had happened post-death, it wasn't either of those, because a technical glitch or dead man switch would have meant that he sent it pre-death. So we come back to the original two possibilities. His account was hacked, or he sent them from the afterlife.
We're going to get into, after the break, some more stuff. We're actually going to break this one down now and tell you our feelings. My feelings, my gut feeling, it only comes from me. Maybe this is wrong. The fucking mother did it. That's where my head's at on this one, John. I think that she had sent stuff out. Now, this is just me making accusations, and it might not have been the mother, but she kept talking about how, think what you want, but you might as well just accept it as a gift. And it kept people talking about him. I just felt like it was her trying to keep her son around, but I don't know.
I mean, I could see that. This is a victimless crime. It's not even a crime. Nobody's hurt by this. They're only, you know, hopefully it helped them settle out things, whether it was her or not. I could see that possibility. It's not the direction I headed though. The more in reality part of me thinks that it certainly could have been the mother, but anyone that he was hacked in one way, shape. When hacked doesn't necessarily mean some elite hacker that's part of Anonymous sat there and typed away for 3 days to get into his email.
I'm in.
You know, anyone who knows, most of us, when I say us, I mean the collective us, use really shitty passwords. Like really shitty. Like something like 20% of all passwords are password.
Thankfully, they made them that you have to be longer than that now, because people just did that stuff.
And even when we get clever with them, we get clever like using our kid's name and our parents' birthday or our favorite superhero, Brent. You know, I mean, like we don't get all that clever. Now, people are really starting to smarten up now with two-factor identification and using really long strings of symbols and text. But 2011, people weren't doing that. They just weren't. No one was paying attention to cybersecurity.
Yeah, they wrote their password on the bottom of a post-it note and put it underneath their computer like everyone did in movies back then.
And don't forget that your operating system will often autofill when you go into the login. So that's actually a check in the box for someone related to him.
Even back then, that was a thing.
But my point is this. I think that whether it was a friend, a loved one, someone guessed his password and wanted to keep his memory alive and keep it going. But I will say this. This is one of the places where we've talked many times on the show before about how, Brent, I'm generally seen as the skeptic. You're generally seen as the believer. It's not exactly fair in either case, but that's kind of the general ethos of the show. I am a believer. We've talked in the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it is 100% for certain, without a shadow of a doubt, not from Jack. No, I wouldn't say that. I would think that if they were communicating with us from the afterlife, that they probably wouldn't do it through email.
I don't know. That's really assumptive that he went to heaven, but keep going.
the other thing that, now, if you wanted to get really esoteric, people talk about the afterlife perhaps being another way to say it is, you know, an alternate dimension where you go after you die. and various dimensions are there that we can't see because they are on some form of the electromagnetic spectrum unobservable to us as humans. So if that were the case, then could it be that, you know, you could manipulate the electromagnetic spectrum to send an email from the afterlife? I guess. I don't know. That's a little too out there for me. I'm more along the lines of, yeah, I don't think it's 100% fact that there's no way that loved ones that have passed on aren't communicating with us.
Well, we're going to get into that a little bit more after the break, because this isn't the first time this has happened, and this isn't the only form of electronic communication that's been studied and talked about. So we're going to go to break, and when we come back, what else is out there in the ether, so to speak, of the electronic superhighway, ghost highway, that's coming up after the break on Hysteria 51.
That'd be a pretty cool band name.
What's that?
Electromagnetic Super Ghost Highway.
I saw him open for the Shitty Beatles.
How were they?
They were shitty.
So it's not just a clever name.
So this is not the first time this happened. If you want some proof, well, let me rephrase that, John. This is not the first time this has been claimed. This has happened, not by a long shot. Go to Reddit. And if that's not scary enough when you start digging through Reddit, dig into this part of it, because there are hundreds of stories of this happening. But there is a but. So many take places in like No Sleep or creepypasta style pages that it's impossible to root through the noise and vet them. And I think that's an important part. But there are people that have done this. According to this guy named Brad Seeger, he's a frequent guest on Art Bell Show. High-tech messages from the dead should come as no surprise. That's what Brad says. Here's a quote from him. Phone calls from the dead have been recognized for decades by the paranormal community, and there are many audio tape recordings containing the voices of deceased persons. That's crazy when something like that happens. In a sense, emails simply represent a technological advance over other forms of communication. It's simply a fact that the dead want to communicate with the living anyway, anyhow. And that kind of ties into what you're saying. Times, they are a-changing, you know, and this was something that they did. He does go on to say, though, certainly not every claim of email from a deceased person holds up under careful analysis. Some stories I've heard are plainly ludicrous, but it's the anecdote that raises the little hairs on the back of my neck, which tells me the story rings true. And these days, I'm collecting more reports than ever from reliable individuals with authentic tales to share. But what about the nature of these messages? Are they exorcist-level, gut-wrenching scary? Or mundane, like, hey, I know I'm dead, but I'm still your mother. Clean your room, comb your hair, for Christ's sake. Which is kind of the kind of shit that was coming from Jack, so to speak. Hey, man, right. You said you were going to do this. Clean your goddamn fucking attic. Hey, I told you're going to fall. Watch yourself. That kind of stuff. Coming from Brad, I think an important thing is, can we vet them? That is important on everything we do. You know, no matter what you want to do. There are archivists out there that just listen. I'm more interested in the people that vet and look into these things. Yes, if we have access or had access, there are ways to get into dead loved ones' emails and other accounts, but it takes some jumping through hoops. And which provider carries a lot of weight? Yahoo, for instance, just says no. Like if you had a Yahoo email account and you were to die and your wife wanted to get into it, no.
Thank God.
Gmail is less straightforward. I was looking into I was looking at major providers and things like that. It's less forward, but still pretty much says no. There are forms you can fill out. They'll close your Gmail for you, things like that. If you really want in there, there are places that can help you for a fee that will, you know, look into to breaking into it for you. Or, like you brought this up, just look into their password manager and you might get lucky. A lot of people, especially if they live alone, so if they just keep their, you know, if they're using a PC, it's in Google, get into their password manager and you might be able to see it. That kind of seems gross, but it can also give family members closure at times. So it's important to know options.
Yeah, you're talking about a lot of very straightforward ways to vet whether an email was sent or not. You know, This reminds me of there's a podcast I listen to that I really like called The Dark Knight Diaries. The host is Jack Reesider. We should actually reach out to Jack and see if he wants to come on the
show. Send me an email. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
It's a great show. And he talks about the dark side of the internet and, you know, interesting, spooky tales and things that happen, but they're all real. It's like, you know, people go completely black hat and do some crazy shit. And then there's also like pen testers. And anyway, what I've learned through listening to that show, because he doesn't dumb down the language, he talks to real people, real hackers, real people that have done these things, and they talk through how they do this. And there are so many ways to look up IP addresses, to backtrack where emails came from, to completely and totally know down to the date, time, machine, and keys that were stroked, where something came from. So if like the government, let's say, you know, the FBI actually wanted to figure out where these emails had come from, barring the paranormal, they could.
Right. There's a website that I went to called Make Use Of, and they have a whole thing on how to trace your emails back to the source. You can find the IP address. Now, the big question is there an IP address in heaven, John, or is he using the IP address from his local computer? And if they were,
well, it reroutes to the local computer.
Okay.
But there are other little breadcrumbs along the way that I didn't even know about. Like if hackers are good enough, they can tell what like Wi-Fi gateway you were using, mm-hmm. and it leaves little crumbs. And then the actual ISP, the portal you have at your cable modem, let's say, it leaves little crumbs. And then, you know, the user agent, of course. So actual device and the operating system, it leaves little crumbs. Like, all of this stuff is there if the right person is analyzing it.
And also, how secure is email? That's outside of this. You know, a lot of emails, now we have multi-layered authentication. If you want to log into my emails, you have to log in. Then I'm also going to get something on my phone. I have to tell you that I'm using it, you know, or there's Authy and other things like that. They use codes that are rolling codes that you got to put into
them. Wait a second. All those fuck you emails you sent, you said CBOT did those, but you're telling me he couldn't have gotten
in. Well, he's got access to lots of things, John. You're breaking up. What'd you say?
Caller, hello.
It's one of those things where if you really want to get to down to brass tacks with the stuff, you can. It might not be free. It might be sketchy. This breaks down to me in my mind of what we just said earlier. Was Jack communicating from the dead, or is it just a hoax? And I don't know that it matters. The source of the emails are still a mystery, but, you know, Jack's friends say no one had his password and they don't believe it was hacked. Like I said, his mom said, think what you want about it or accept it as a gift. Sometimes these things are just gifts. Now, if you, oh, dear listener, want to leave a gift for your loved ones after you die, we were talking about it earlier. There are places. One of them is Last Words Delivery. They say they send wills, but it sounds like getting the last word on someone, you know, after you die, they'll make sure, see if you died and then send out your will or whatever else you had. There were tons of, in fact, these, the websites I was on looking this story up had links to 7 or 8 other services that are now defunct, which is an interesting thing to me that this was such a big thing that kind of went out of business, so to speak.
Yeah, it was a big thing for a while. I you're right. I did some searching myself and found, like you said, you know, 10 of them at least, and some of them are still around, but it does seem like kind of one of those, as the social media platforms, as the main email servers get more advanced and actually take steps to help families. You know, Gmail has set up a process now. Facebook has set up a process now. Twitter hasn't. But many of them have, all of a sudden it makes a lot of these services, not as profitable to run.
Right.
But yeah, they exist. And if you want a dead man switch on some sort of message, you know, hey, I really did rub my butt on your cupcake in fifth grade, you know,
you do. Wait, it. You did?
Did that seem too specific?
I can never tell. Yeah, John, it's an interesting thing as technology progresses, do spirits. I mean, that's something that we have to talk about. Like you said, they were calling and we were like, yeah, it makes sense they'd call, but emails? Well, why is that any different? Are they going to leave us TikToks in 10 years or, you know, whatever the next... The thing you said is, death, if we want to look at it that way, is something that we don't understand. Is it just a doorway? Is it another dimension? Is it another universe? Is it what is it? Well, that's for us to find out one day.
You know what would be even cooler than if you were able to like hack and look all this up and you see, rather than like the IP address being blank, you know, it'd be like dun dun dun. Mm-hmm. It'd be like, wait, this, why is the IP address all sevens? It's the IP address for heaven.
Across the sky and down from heaven, that's the way we make our seven.
Like literally, oh, that it's that's, I should have known.
There's a country song in there somewhere, but I just can't figure it out.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there is.
So that's our thoughts. And, you know, for once, John kind of went on to the paranormal route, and I was just the mundane, you know, the butler did it type thing. What do you guys think? How can they tell us, John?
They can tell us by going to Facebook.com and searching Hysteria Nation. It is our Facebook discussion group, kids. We have seen hundreds of you pour in recently, and we appreciate it. And we want to invite the rest of you to come on in the pool. The water's warm. Go to Facebook.com and search Hysteria Nation.
John pees in it. That's why. I just want to let you guys know that right now. Also, while you're jumping on things, Facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod. That's our regular page. Patreon, Patreon.com. Get yourself some Up All Nights, Mad Blurry Hysteria, some rapping hosts, some audio dramas, all sorts of fun stuff. And you can hear yourself 773-669-7277, 773-669-7277. By popular demand, something that I didn't think we're ever going to do, and we even asked a lot, even since we started doing voicemails again, we took a little reprieve there when John and I weren't recording together. We're going to do a voicemail episode coming up.
Yes. So if you've been waiting to hear your voicemail, an upcoming week.
Tough titty. We deleted them.
Maybe get the chance. I mean, we're not going to play all 1,000 we have in the reservoir, but we'll play a lot.
I got to tell you, there are a few hundred of them that are 3, 4, 5 minutes long. I'm not playing them. I'm just not. They're just getting deleted. If you want to hear yourself under a minute, keep it under a minute. Going forward.
Now, we love you all, and we appreciate you taking the time. But some of you just get really hammered and decide to call.
I don't need your manifesto.
I don't understand. I mean, I appreciate it. And you know, many of you are just calling to scream at CBOT, which I also appreciate. But it's not necessarily going to get played on the podcast.
Yeah, or maybe I'll get rip roaring drunk and then play him on the podcast. You never know. It's kind of a choose your own event. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. All right.
Don't forget, you can find all this. Gophopedia.com, like we said earlier, hysteria51.com. Tell a friend.
Tell a loved one. Send an email from the great beyond to listen to Hysteria 51.
There you go. And something that we haven't asked you to do for a while, we've been a little stagnant on there. Review us. Review us wherever, if you're on iTunes, or I guess that's Apple Podcasts now for several years. Review us. Podchase, wherever you have, if you can, we would love it. Do whatever's in your heart, but I bet your heart tells you 5 stars.
Apple Podcast is still the number one place that people leave reviews, but you can leave reviews on Stitcher. You can leave them on Spotify. You know, rate us, follow us, subscribe to
or
us.
Or if you're feeling froggy, do them on all of them. Ooh, doggy.
Oh, that's a business, man. Like, could we should drop an app that like will send it to all platforms instantaneously.
Oh, I hate these guys because blah, 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 diary of the
Brent is an ugly pigeon. Yeah, remember
right,
that?
That's right. I forget. Every once in a while I hear that still, or I see that and I'm like, oh my God, I forgot about that.
That was only 3 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, right. All right, kids. So that's been our thoughts on emails from the gray beyond. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a 4th Hand Shine.